The first scripture reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 33. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it had been leavened. This is the word of the Lord.
I'm going to read a paraphrase from the Message for Galatians. Paul could sometimes be like, you know, that neighbor when you were a kid that was sort of, you know, get off my lawn, you know, and be sort of cranky. But your parents knew that there was a lot more to them than that, you know, pretty reasonable guy, but get off my lawn. This is one of those passages. We're going to read it from the Message because I think it makes it really jump off the page. Paul says, "My counsel is this: live freely, animated and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. For there is the root of sin, self-interest in us that is at odds with the free spirit, just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness. These two ways of life are contrary to each other, so that you cannot live at times one way and at times another way according to how you feel on any given day. Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence? It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. I could go on. This isn't the first time I have warned you, you know. If you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. But what happens when we live God's ways? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Legalism is helpless to bring this about. It only gets in the way. Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessities is killed off for good, crucified. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us was better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original. This is the word of the Lord. In our scripture passage today, we are reminded that every one of us is gifted with some talent, you know, serenity, and the ability to give to others, compassion in the heart. And Jesus reminds us that we need to use them to leaven the loaf and make the world better. Just as a small batch of leavening can make the bread rise, so we can make a difference in the world if only we would use our talents. The Apostle Paul reminds us what life is like when we don't use our gifts and follow the way of Jesus. Things get ugly soon and fast, and our behavior becomes ugly, and then our community becomes ugly. Often we start to believe that we can do nothing about the ugliness that we see. Worse yet, we start to accept it as normal. But violence, hunger, and abuse are not God's intentions for the world. God's intention is for wholeness and health, peace and justice. So I'd like you to listen to a story of one woman who used her gift to love troubled children, and in doing so, she changed the lives of thousands of children and started a small revolution in one of the poorest sections of London, South London. I'm going to mangle her name because it's tough. Camilla Batman-Gelhilja. Well, she laughs. She said, you know, you could not get a more privileged background than mine. She was the child of a wealthy Iranian physician living in Tehran. Who'd have thought, she said, that the child who grew up with such wealth, two bodyguards, would end up in South London. Camilla is the founder and director of Kids Company, a charity which provides practical, emotional, and educational support to 13,000 vulnerable inner city children every year. Yet despite her privileged life, Camilla was always keen to work with vulnerable children. At age 9, Camilla had already told her parents that she planned to run an orphanage, and she was regularly entrusted by teachers to entertain and take care of 70 to 90 elementary school children in a big gym. At age 11, Camilla was sent to one of the UK's top private schools for girls, Sherborne. Soon after, news that her father was imprisoned in the Iranian Revolution turned her life upside down. Although family connections enabled her to get her school fees and continue, Camilla started working with children during the holidays to earn extra cash. First, she got a position as a nursery worker. But as her experience and knowledge of psychology increased, because she was a voracious reader and studier, she built up a little personal private practice for disturbed children of very wealthy people. By age 19, she had a full practice just by word of mouth, and she was able to do amazing things for them. She said, these were people who were not going to bring their child into a clinic and were looking for someone like them to help. I'd accumulated a lot of experience and knowledge over the years, and I came from an incredibly wealthy background. When they saw I wasn't fazed by their wealth or power, they let me in to care for their child. Camilla says that the issues faced by these children were similar to the ones deprived London children faced every day. By age 25, Camilla became a part-time therapist at a family services clinic in South London. She realized that many of the children who she was trying to help did not have a functioning parent at home. I decided, therefore, because these parents weren't functioning and they weren't bringing children in, she said, I decided to put a therapeutic clinic within a school and let the children in that elementary school self-refer. So I cleaned up a broom cupboard in a primary school and called it the place to be. 5 years later, Camilla left the place to be to set up Kids Company with a £30,000 grant. At Kids Company, Camilla put together a one-stop shopping center for kids without a functioning parent. She said, the way you do it is to put a collection of staff on the premises and let the children come when they like. Those who desperately need it will come 7 days a week. You provide 3 meals a day. You have your doctor, your dentist, your psychiatric nurse, optician, youth worker, artists, and sports workers. You don't open and close files on children. You just get to know them. It's a partnership with the parents and the center, wherever it's possible. Kids Company operates variations of this model in 37 schools across London. They have a crisis center for 2,000 children and an urban academy for 200 to 300 really challenging students. Kids Company now has 336 paid staff and 5,600 volunteers. Camilla designed the centers to be a place where unloved children could experience what it's like to have a good parent. Because some of the students are a danger to themselves and to others, Camilla trains workers to give them what she calls robust compassion. The idea is to treat children with kindness and provide it in a place that is safe and clean and where children can get a good meal. At the centers, children can be with adults who treat them kindly despite whatever they have done, and some of them have done things with the criminal, gotten in trouble with the criminal system. As Camilla explains, punishment for the sake of punishment doesn't do anything for these kids. However, hers isn't just a hug a hoodie philosophy. It is based on discipline. Every child who comes in for help gets it. No one is turned away, no matter how troubled. But they have boundaries and responsibilities, and they have to play their part. It takes years of reliable care to make young clients feel better about themselves and less resentful of society. But the kids' company has a remarkable record. In a recent study, 97% of the children, 88% of the teachers involved said Kids Company has made a real difference, very effective. The local police have asked the charity to stay open beyond 6 p.m. as crime has gone down since the center started. Unfortunately, due to lack of funds, hours are limited. But what Kids Company can do, it does so well that social service departments and other charities seek its guidance. Even though Kids Company is very successful in getting children back into education and reducing crime, Camilla sees the overall problem for deprived inner city children increasing. She says, violence is spreading like a virus among disturbed children at street level. And they are inviting and forcing otherwise well-cared-for children to become involved. It is a cycle. No one becomes violent randomly. It's about giving people genuine tools to solve the problem so that there's no violence anymore. Camilla is using her gifts, her drive, experience, personality to make a big impact in South London. You know, for those of you who are not hockey fans, I'm a big hockey fan, there is a secret, pretty well-known secret, about becoming a championship team in the National Hockey League. First, you make sure that no or few hockey pucks are shot into your net. And second, you need to shoot the biscuit. In hockey lingo, the puck is sometimes called the biscuit. And every hockey coach, player, and fan knows that the more times you can shoot the puck toward your opponent's net, the higher the probability that you will put the puck in their net and score a goal. Therefore, in homes and in sports bars across the country, you'll hear fans yelling at their team, "Just shoot the biscuit!" You see, you and I also have gifts, talents, things that we do exceptionally well that are given to us by God. There are little biscuits. Sometimes, like Camilla, you and I just need to get out there and just shoot the biscuit. We need to have some faith that Jesus is true when he says that even a small amount of leaven can raise the dough and make it something wonderful to sustain us and others. We need to believe Jesus when he says, "Whenever you ask for it, whatever you ask for it in my name, I'll give you." In other words, when we ask for courage or strength or guidance to love the hard to love, we'll get it. It's available to us when we serve in accordance to God's will and intention for the world, which is wholeness, health, peace, joy, justice. The Apostle Paul gives us a vivid description of what life is like when we don't follow God's will. Life is crummy, not only for us, but for our community and world. But when we walk in the way of Jesus Christ and serve God and others, not only are we blessed, but so are our communities. Let me tell you about 7-year-old Bobby. He is sitting at the kitchen table using his fingers to eat fried chicken. So his table manners are not perfect, but that's a small problem compared to those that he and his two brothers have overcome. Not long ago, 16-year-old Dean, the eldest, was in agency care because he'd thrown a television set at his mother. I hope it wasn't a 50-inch one. And tried to knock down the door in his public housing flat. His mother, Kim, feared that Bobby and his brother Russell would soon join Dean in care. She said, "I couldn't control my kids, and if I hit them, I knew it was wrong, but if I didn't, they ignored me completely." The boy's father was on drugs, and Kim was on Valium, having suffered panic attacks. Dean was struggling with his reading at school and being bullied there. In the public housing area where I live, well, that was just a place of fear. But the family had one piece of luck. They lived near enough to a kids' company center for Dean to hear of it and its founder, Camilla. He made his way to one of its drop-in centers for young people and began to turn his life around. It hasn't been easy. Sadly, there are many such families, not only in London, but right here in D.C., and Baltimore, and Bowie. Children are at risk because their parents are so wiped out by their own problems, they can't raise them properly. Children need a great deal of care to feel secure. Without functioning parents, they are unlikely to get even the most simplest things that they need, things like food, a clean bed, warm clothes, someone to help with the homework. Without such care, it's easy for such children to become despairing and violent toward themselves and others. Many are suffering abuse as well. Social services that could help have to live within their budgets, so they often turn away non-emergency cases to work on the cases that need immediate intervention. Even though this may lead to a greater expense, not only in finances, but in social cash, of the effects of mental illness and prison later on. Often social services don't even know about these kids because those in need don't go to school and they aren't brought to doctors. And when they get services, even the best-intentioned social workers, and there are many of them, can't give the time to give them the loving care that neurological research shows is the way to calm such children. Living in constant anxiety, they are adapted to a pattern of fight, flight, or passivity that crushes their spirits and delays or sabotages their development. People of God, you have gifts. Maybe not the same as Camilla or someone else, but you have them. Our church, our community needs you to get out and try. Just shoot the biscuit. So go where not your guilt, but where your gut, your passion, your joy leads you to express your gift. You'll know you're in the right place when you can feel the gifts of the Spirit, joy, peace, love, welling up inside you. If you're there now, God bless you. And so I challenge you to go this week, this month, this winter, to find where your particular gifts are needed. It might be in your home, your neighborhood, here at church, in the larger community. And then when your joy, not your guilt, when your joy for serving meets the world's need, serve God and others in that place. Do you think you can do that? Do you think you can do that? Okay, let's take a little time to pray. Lord, we ask your blessing for taking our gifts that you have given us and getting a little eye opener on where we can serve. We may be serving now, but we just don't interpret it as your ministry. Help us see where we're already helping and how much it means to people, whether it's the cashier at the checkout line, whether it's the person we sit and talk to at the bus stop, whether it's someone in school or a family member or a friend or neighbor or some bigger cause in the greater world. Help us know that we are on track and where we might go next. And then bless us, for we ask for your courage, your strength, your vision. In your name, amen.